Hello, brothers and sisters. Aaron Clark here, welcoming you to another message. Today, you'll be listening to week 4 of Simplify and how God wants us to be most satisfied in Him because we are most available. And I'll tell you what, brothers and sisters, my life, my soul, my emotional state, my spiritual vibrance, my worship has all been revived and revitalized through putting these principles in place in my life. I basically have been sharing my journey in resting and simplifying and uncluttering my soul according to God's word through this series. And it's been a blessing to me and everyone who's been walking with us as well. I want to encourage you as you listen to this, have a notepad out. Be ready to put some action steps in place and anticipate God's goodness to unfold in your life as you follow Him according to His word. As I said, this is the 4th week, the final week, and we're going to look at how do we get from cluttered up, schedules packed, in over our heads and debt, toxic relationships, a life spinning out of control, to a life of simplicity and joy and peace and harmony with God and with our brothers and sisters. Is there a way to get there? I submit to you today that not only is there a way to get there, but it's not complicated. It would be defeating to offer a very complicated way to get to a simple life. So God has made it very simple. I encourage you, brace yourself. Turn your Bibles to Psalm 119, verses 9 through 16. That'll be our text. I'll read through that a little bit, and you'll be joining in as I'm asking questions that have a very intentional strategy to them as you listen to the message. Stay tuned after the message for further instructions to see how you can further connect with us and enter into a discipleship relationship with one of our leaders. God bless you. Enjoy. All right. Who is the man that we know that led the civil rights movement in the 60s and the 60s? Martin Luther King. All right. What city was John F. Kennedy killed in? Dallas, Texas. Right. Who was the first person riding out that we know that made this statement? The British are coming. The British are coming. Paul Revere. Paul Revere. Very good. Very good. All right. What was the hottest war that was going on in the 60s between us and a country way in the east? Vietnam. Y'all know about Vietnam. Alright, Vietnam. How many world wars have we been in?
Two.
Two world wars. That's right. That's right. Alright. What country is known to have the seat of power for the Catholic Church? Rome. That's right. In the Vatican. That's right. Rome. All right. And how many days did it take for God to create the heavens and the earth and all creation?
6 days.
6 days. All right. How about this? What is the freezing point of water?
32 degrees Fahrenheit.
32 degrees Fahrenheit. What's the boiling point of water? 100 degrees Celsius? 180 degrees Fahrenheit? All right, we got a teacher in the house, at least a couple of them. All right. All right, what is the maneuver performed on a person that's choking? The Heimlich maneuver. All right. Correct. What is the procedure that we perform on people
if they are drowned and they're out of the water now, what's the CPR? CPR. All right. All right, so you're out, you cut yourself, and you're bleeding, and you cannot get to medical treatment. What do you do? Apply pressure, stop the bleeding. That's the first thing you want to consider. All right, cool. All right, what do you do if you're on fire? Stop, drop, and roll. Everybody know that one, right? Stop, drop, and roll. All right, if you got somebody in a house that's on fire, you are cautioned to what? Crawl on the floor. That is right. Bang. Dan, I need some of those prizes to pass out. All right. Last one. If you got a serious, serious emergency, who do you call? 911. Whoa. I heard some different varying answers out there. What did you say? Ghostbusters. Y'all tripping. All right. I know y'all want to know how this means or what this means to anything. So let's pray. Let's pray and get into the word. God, we thank you today. We thank you, God, that we have been talking about simplifying our lives. And Lord, we are fired up to see what it is that you have in store for us as we learn to simplify our lives so that we can live in the highest level of intimacy with you, because you are experiencing the most availability from us. We ask you to bless our time today, God. Help us lock in on the truths that will set us free in all the areas that you are making it clear to us that we need to be free in. And we thank you for it. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. So we are in week 4 of Simplify. Unclutter your soul. And I don't know about you, but I'm telling you, man, I've been taking this stuff real serious, and it has been seriously impacting my soul to really take a step back and look at everything. And we've talked about, you know, schedules that's just jam-packed. We've talked about being satisfied with your money and being satisfied with your job. We've talked about toxic relationships that can really clutter up your soul. And the purpose for all of these things have been just what I said in the prayer. It's God is saying that your life, when it is simply lived under my authority, within the means that I provide for you, loving the thing that I have put in your heart to love and to do that and give your energy to that is when you are going to experience your greatest joy. You're going to experience your greatest satisfaction when God has his greatest availability from you. And so we have talked about struggles that we've all had that are a direct result of we're just spread too thin. We're overcommitted. And then from being overcommitted, we go out and we spend money to comfort ourselves, and we make knee-jolt decisions. We don't think clearly through things, and now we got late fees, and, you know, we're forgetting to pay bills, or, you know, we got credit out the yin-yang. We got compiling all of this debt, and now we're stressed out, and we got relationships around us that are being affected, whether it's your marriage or whether it's your children. You're telling your children you're just a burden because you cost too much. And just because our lives are so complicated, because we need to simplify our lives. And so it can leave you in that place where you kind of feel lost. If you are anything like I was when I first started really looking at this, it's like, man, how do I get out of a schedule that is just jam-packed? How do I get out of debt? You saying stop working, but do you know how much debt I have? You know, do you know what I would have to give up to slow down? And I could not figure out, how do I get from being jammed up, being overly complicated, my soul being cluttered up, not being healthy relationally, spiritually, emotionally, not having a healthy relationship with God. How do I get there? And so what I want to offer to you today is that just like if you're in the woods under, you know, a overcast sky, no signs of the sun, you're looking for moss where it's growing on the trees, because you know moss grows on the north side of the trees. And you, all you know is you headed south out of civilization, and now you looked up and you in the woods. You're in the wilderness and you just want to get back to civilization where there's provision and life. But you have no way of getting there. The best thing you could have at that time is what? A compass. That's right. Sister Pat, ding, 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 ding. She got it. The best thing you could have at that point is a compass. And so I want us to think about this today. Is the word of God is like a compass. His wisdom is like a compass. His word is like a light. And no matter where you are, in the woods, in this whole situation, whether you're overscheduled, you got debt way up over your head, you got relationships, you don't know how you're going to get out of these relationships, the word of God is a compass. It'll get you out of there. So that's how we're going to look at this today. So we're going to read in his word, and it's a very familiar passage, Psalm 119. Verses 9 through 16, and I'm going to put this right up on the screen today so we can just read along and you don't even have to flip. So let's just go to the first verse there. And it reads like this: wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord. Teach me thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. I will not forget thy word. And so if we are going to make the connection between the questions and this, I won't forget thy word. Notice how much information you have readily at your access. You know what to do if someone's in trouble. Dial 911. You know what to do when someone's choking. Do the Heimlich. You know what to do if someone is drowned in the outer water. You need CPR. You know what to do if you're bleeding. You raise that hand up, elevate it, stop the bleeding. Right? And so it's so many things that we have, not just historically and geographically and archaeologically and all of these other things, but we have survival things right at our fingertips. That whenever something arises, it's time for us to make a decision based on the knowledge we have, right? And what I want to encourage you today with, as we look at how we take all of the principles that we've talked about, overtaxed schedule, not happy with your job, too much debt, not content with your money, relationships that are just draining you. How do we take all of that and in a very practical way, look into the future so as to not just say, hey, that's the end of the series, I'm done, what's the next series? But to actually take and put into place some very simple principles that we can say, now we're going to take all of this and God is going to work a miracle in my life to make my life simple so I can enjoy him as he enjoys me. Amen?
Amen.
And so that's what it's like when you're walking through life. You end up with all of these decisions you have to make. You know, there are decisions that have to be made when you meet that young woman who wants to give you her phone number, and y'all in the park. And you talked and laughed and you had a good time, and you looked up and you realized everybody gone and y'all just sitting there. And it's dark. She looking at you and you looking at her, and something shifts in the atmosphere. And y'all start feeling like you want to touch. You got to make a decision. What comes to your mind at that point? What's the scripture that comes to your mind? Anybody got one? Flee youthful lust. We were sitting in the car and I looked up and he was running across the park. Or there's that situation where you got somebody and y'all just went through a situation and somebody just came in and hijacked the whole vibe, just came and killed the vibe. And they came and they spent all of 3 minutes in the room and left everybody hijacked. And you got that temptation where that one person just says, did you just see that? And then another person, yeah, she do that all the time. What's the scripture that comes to mind? That's the question, huh? She gone now. What's the situation? What's the scripture? Anybody got scripture?
Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth.
Bang! Let nothing good come, let nothing unwholesome come out of your mouth. Right? Pray for them.
Don't let bad manners corrupt good manners.
So, this is what life is like as you are simplifying, uncluttering your soul. Everywhere you go, you have to make these decisions. And I'm going to tell you, sometimes they are very tough decisions. I mean, think about it. When you're uncluttering your soul and you think about your schedule, do I go to this meeting or do I say no? I can't go another place. Do I go to this birthday party or do I say no? I can't handle one extra thing. These people invite me to do this. Can I go or do I not? So how do we find our way? How do we navigate our way from cluttered up, messed up, jacked up, unhealthy souls, spirits, emotional instability to a place where we do that? We do it through the word. Amen. And so in all of this, there are basically two takeaways that I want everyone to get today. Two takeaways. First takeaway in relation to getting to the place where I am most satisfied because I am most available to God. The first takeaway is there is a path that gets you there. There is a path that gets you to a place of a simple enough life where you are healthy, your relationships are healthy, you are content with the finances you have, you know how to navigate through your job and make it something that is pleasing unto the Lord. Your schedule is not so packed up that you have no time in your life. Let me give you a little side note. For a long time, and this is like in the last year, I kept saying, man, I just wish it could be enough day. I wish it could be 48 hours in a day. I wish it could be 48 hours in a day. And I just kept, not enough hours in a day. If I could just get 8 more hours in a day. And one day, in stillness, I actually heard the Lord, right while I was getting ready to say that, did I not give you enough hours in a day? Ooh, I was so rebuked. Like, he didn't know what he was doing when he only made 24 hours in a day. And I didn't realize the arrogance of a statement like that. I didn't realize that I was saying, you didn't give me enough. I really didn't realize that. And so if you can join me in my humility of understanding that God knows exactly what he's doing. He has the wisdom. I had to recede back into a place where I said, well, if you're saying that I'm wrong and thinking that it's not enough hours in the day, then I got something all messed up. And I did have a lot of things messed up. So there is a path to get there. You and I must resolve that what we have is enough? How much time we have is enough? The relationships that God puts in our lives, we need to learn how to discern who should be there and who shouldn't be there for His purposes and not ours. Amen? There's a path to get there. Resolve that right now. That's takeaway number one. I resolve that there is a path to my greatest satisfaction in the Lord, in my life, in my heart, in my mind, on my job, with my time, in my relationships, because I'm going to be the most available to God. Can I get one amen?
Amen.
Y'all feel like y'all going to get there? Who's saying they're going to get there? Anybody? Oh, yes, y'all. I don't know if I'm going to get there, Brother Aaron. You can get there. Next takeaway. How about this? So first we're going to determine, we're going to say, we're going to conclude, we're going to resolve. We can get there. Second one is when I get on the path, I can actually stay on this path. Now, if you anything like me, when I started thinking about, man, I work 19 hours a day, and every now and then I take a 4-hour break and sleep a little longer, you know, and what am I going to cut off? What am I going to cut loose? And, you know, I'm looking at my budget, and I'm like, okay, we peaking here way above our means, and I'm like, okay, so what can I let go of? You know, how do you stop working so much only to decrease what that pushed me up against the wall? I don't see how I can do it. But it's true. Let's go back to verse 1 and let's look at this, because this is actually how you stay on the path. So what we're trying to do here is simplify, right? We're trying to clean it up, unclutter. So what does he say? How shall a young man cleanse his way? So now, young women, this does not exclude you. Older men, this does not exclude us. Although I'm not older, I'm young. Older women, this basically was talking, saying, how does an untrained, out of control, young person, older person, man, woman, how do they clean up? And we're going to keep it in context. First thing he says, by taking heed.
Amen.
To what? To the word of God. And here's the unique thing I like about this particular version. He says, by taking heed thereto according to your word. So that means when I pull out that plastic bag out of the freezer and Pam then fried some chicken and she made them bomb mashed potatoes with that cheese and them onions and garlic in there, man, you can eat them potatoes by themselves. But she fried chicken to go with them, and then we'll make a vegetable on the side. And then I said, well, what about bread? And she said, you're on your own for bread. I'll go in the freezer and grab these Pillsbury frozen biscuits, and man, when them things cook up and cook up right, you will hurt yourself. But I have to cook them things according to the words in the instructions. And there are plenty of things in life that you can do and do well if you do it according to the words of the instructions. Isn't that right? So David's saying, if we're going to get to the place where we are most satisfied because we are most available, the only way we're going to clean it up is by looking at our life according to God's word. What's that next verse say? Let's look at it. Well, here's where we're going to start. First of all, with my whole heart. With my whole heart. Not 98%. Not 99.9, with 100% of my heart, I'm going to seek it. If you, let me ask you a question. Can you imagine right now your life being like after an 8-hour day, you are sitting on the porch regularly, just chilling. You got time for friends. People are saying, hey, I'm hungry. You're like, I'll cook. Y'all sit down and chill. You got time, you run into an old friend, and you can just park in the parking lot. Hey, how's it going? You got capacity to invite people into your life, to talk to friends. You're not running around scattered. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine waking up in the morning and you're like, you know, man, I'm going to pray and have a cup of coffee with the Lord this morning to get in my word before I go to work. You know, it's just 5 o'clock. You rested at 5 a.m. Rested. Not, you know, you only got 7 minutes to get out of the door. But you up so rested and refreshed that you up doing what? Seeking the Lord. In the afternoon, you seeking the Lord. David said, with my whole heart. Have you with your whole heart. And let's make this real narrow. Let's make this real narrow, real simple. We stand simplify. Have you said, you know what, this whole simplify thing? I'm going out there with everything I got. I'm going to simplify my life. I'm going to rest. I'm going to decrease the amount of time that's going out on my schedule. I'm going to minimize the amount of money that's going out. I'm going to stop working all of these hours. I'm going to make myself available to God. I'm going after this. I'm going after that goal with all my heart. That's what David said. Then look at what he says. He says, oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Right there, he is praying. He's saying, if we're going to use this in context, I heard you, Lord, you saying simplify. I've seen all the places where I'm jacked up. I see where I'm stretched too thin. I see where I'm over my head in debt. I see where I got toxic relationships. And I hear you saying, I got to do something. I got to change it. I hear you saying it. Will you keep me? Will you keep me on this focus of where you want me to simplify? You asking God to help. What's this next verse say? He says, thy word have I hid in mine heart. All right, I'm going to just stop right there. Brothers and sisters, this is work. And this is work that we hear a lot of Christians saying, I wish I could get to. I haven't been reading the word like I need to. I need to study more. I need to pray more. This is work. And until your life simplifies, this is work that'll never get done. It'll never get done. Because to hide word in your heart means that you had to be really connected when somebody showed you a dummy laid out on the floor and pressed down CPR. That might have been a 4-hour class that you learned CPR. You had to be locked in. You had to be engaged when somebody showed you how to do the Heimlich. You had to see that a couple of times. Hope to God you have never have to practice it. You had to be fully engaged to want to receive, internalize, and be able to at some point draw upon the knowledge of all these life-saving things. I never heard somebody say, well, we got an emergency. And they say, dial 612. No, they know who to call. Everybody knows that. And he says, I have done the work that is necessary so that as I'm going through life, when I come to these forks in the road, when I'm with that young lady or that young man and we in a place that we didn't start out there, but somehow we didn't got to a place where we really need to be parting right now. Or I'm in the store and I know I came for milk, but I don't have no idea why I got this buggy and it's half full now. He says, I'm going to hide my word. I'm going to hide. I have hid your word in my heart. Why? So I won't sin against you. What's the next verse say? And he stops and just exalts God. Blessed art thou, O Lord. It's at this point that David takes the time to reflect on who God is. You are blessed. You know, that's a huge word. You should look at that word. It's a huge word. Because it's not saying God is just blessed. It's saying, God, you are a healer. God, you are a provider. God, you are a lawgiver. God, you are righteous. God, you are holy. God, you are a comforter. God, you give me strength. God, you give me hope. God, you help me. You pick me up when I'm down. God, you are blessed. And God, your words, when I have stood by those words, I can see how your word is so powerful in my life. And so he says, so just keep teaching me, please. I need you to teach me, Lord. What's the next verse say? He says, with my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. You don't have to raise your hand for this, but just think about this. At this point, this is week 4 of talking about Simplify. God has given us the judgments of his mouth by his spirit right into our souls. I'm curious. Have you declared those judgments? Have you said to somebody, I'm jacked up. I can't make this, man. God's got me under conviction. I'm not getting the rest I need. And I need to slow down. I need some changes. I'm spending too much money. Something's got to change. God is righteous and God is holy. He's doing something in my life and I want to experience it all. God don't want me to live this way. God does not want me to live without joy. He's telling me what to do. And I'm telling you, this is what I have to do. Have you told your family? Have you told your friends? Have you told your boss? Have you told your neighbors? Have you told the people that you're closely connected to? Look, we can't go here anymore because God has shown me a better way. I have to do that. Or are you just trying to muscle it? David said, no, everybody got to know this. I'm declaring. You know, he said, notice what he says. He says, with my lips. You know, there's what's called the Declaration of Independence. That's just on paper. David made it real clear. No, I opened up my mouth and I voiced what you're telling me. So often God comes and speaks to us, tells us what to do, and we struggle with it around people and we don't even tell them what God is telling us to do. I got to change directions, man. Hey, man, I ain't see you at the club last week. And we just be like, I had to cut the grass. No, you didn't. God done moved on your heart. Tell them. God is taking me in a different direction. I don't have nothing to say about the club, but that's not what God wants me right now. Hey, man, I notice you're not coming out to play like you used to. You know what, man? Right now is just a season for me. I need to be in my word. So I'm going to have to give up some of the playtime. I'm going to have to give up some of the shooting pool and playing basketball. For right now, this is where God has me. That's a judgment that God has given you to do something. And David said, when God gave me something to do, when God gave me a judgment, a commandment, a precept, a concept, when he gave it to me, he said, I opened up my mouth and I declared it. What's the next verse say? I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies. You know what this is saying? This is saying that God brought tests. They end up being testimonies. God brought a way. They end up being a way made. And David said, and I rejoiced. I look back. You ever read through the Psalms? David did not live when God parted the water. But he can tell you all about it. David did not live when the children of Israel were coming out of Egypt. But he can tell you all about it. David didn't live when the plagues were coming down on Egypt. But he can tell you all about it. And he says, I know those testimonies and I have rejoiced in the way you do things. And he says, and I rejoice in that more than in all the riches that I have. What would it be like if you knew all the stories of God and every time you feel like you're hard pressed up against something, you got this testimony coming at you saying, oh, God did more than that. Why are you worried about that? You worried about a molehill, God bring down mountains. You worried about being thirsty, God made water come out of a rock. What's the next verse say? And then here's some more work. I will meditate in thy precepts. You can't do that when you're cluttered. You can't do it. David said, I will. He didn't say, I'm trying. He didn't say, I need to. He didn't say, I was thinking about it. He says, I will meditate in thy precepts. I'm going to take the time. You know, let's just make this real practical. Sometimes I'll get off work and I will have already talked to Pam and she'll say, hey, this and that is for dinner. And I'm like, yes, my favorite. I'm on my way to the house. And I blow past everything, get to the house, and I'm thinking about it. Okay, so is 4:45 now. I should be done here by 5:30. Home, dinner will be at 6. We'll be done talking, laughing, and chopping it up by 7. Listen to kids' crazy stories and all their jokes about what they watched on YouTube and what they went through in school and da 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 da. 7:30, we're getting up from the table. And by 8 o'clock, it's me and some chocolate cake, baby. I got a date with a hot cake and a bowl of ice cream. It's set in my head. And guess what? I can't think of the last time I was late. And I can't think of the last time I left half the ice cream and half the cake in the bowl. When I started that date, I finished it. That's because I was committed. Long before I got to that cake and that ice cream, I said, I will have me a cup of ice cream and a hot slice of cake tonight. I am. And David said the same thing about meditating. It's amazing how we can schedule so many things and never be late. Never cut it short. Be fully engaged. And when it comes to meditating in the precepts of God, I need to. It never makes the schedule. Look at what he says here, y'all. This one threw me back right here. He says, not only am I going to meditate on your precepts, I'm going to have respect unto your ways. You know, do y'all know that what I'm laying before you right now is a way of the Lord? He says, I'm going to respect that. What is respect? Well, let's look at respect in the context of marriage or a relationship. So Pam tells me, Aaron, I don't like when you get out of the bed and you take your house shoes off and you leave them in front of the door because I come out of the bedroom when it's dark and I trip over your house shoes. And I say, oh, honey, I'm so sorry. I need to change that. And the next day, I leave them right there again. And she says, honey, I need you to get your house shoes out of the door. I trip over those house shoes. And I says, you know, I've been thinking about that, and I really need to change that. And this goes on and on and on for 19 years. Is that respect? David said, I'm going to respect the ways of the Lord. I'm going to respect it. If God is saying study, I respect that. If God is saying pray, I respect that. If God is saying meditate, I'm going to respect that. If God is saying love the loveless, I'm going to respect that. If God is saying forgive, I'm going to respect that. If God is saying help, I'm going to respect that. I'm not going to say I'm trying. I'm not going to say I'm thinking about it. He says, I'm going to meditate about what you're saying to do, and I'm going to respect it. That means I'm going to humble myself to it, and I'm going to bring myself into subjection to the way that you have set before me. It's no respect. God has warned the children of Israel over and over. Stop serving me with lip service. I don't want lip service. I want action. That's what Pam would tell me after 19 years. I'm tired of you telling me that you need to change. I'm tired of you telling me one day you're going to pick those house shoes up. So finally, I just threw the house shoes away. All right, verse 16. Don't have to worry about that no more. And look at what this says, brothers and sisters. He says, I will delight myself in your statutes. David obviously knew that there was a serious contrast between what I really want to do and what I must bring myself to do. Now, for me, I think for all of us, we could probably agree with this. There are so many different things in the Lord that the Lord, because a statute is something that God has established, a way, a truth, a reality. It's something he's saying, this is the way you do it. It's probably a lot of us that could say, I don't really delight in forgiving knuckleheaded people that didn't cuss at me. I don't delight in that. I don't really delight in giving to people that I feel like are taking advantage of me. I don't delight in that. I don't really delight in breaking my schedule so I can sit down and read. I don't delight in giving up my afternoon show so I can spend time with my wife or with my children. I don't like really coming home after a hard day's work and not being able to just plop down on the couch and rather go exercise. I really don't like that. I don't know what God has told you to do, but David obviously said whatever that is, he says, I'm going to delight myself in that. Then he made a commitment. Said, I'm not going to forget what you told me. So if you're thinking about how do I stay on the path, he's saying, I got to look at my life. I got to look at the way I'm going according to the word of God. What was that next verse? Verse 10. We're going to go through it real quick again. I'm going to seek you with my whole heart. I'm going to beg you. I'm going to plead with you to help keep me on the path. So that means I'm in constant communication. I'm in contact with you regularly to come back with you, like maybe every morning, and say, God, I'm getting ready to start another day. I need your help. Would you help me stay focused today, Lord? Help me stay on the path. Lord, help me today. I need your help. And then what in verse 11? I'm going to hide your word. I'm going to take some time. And let me tell y'all a very easy way to deal with this. Some people ask, well, where do I study? What do I study? What do I begin with? Start with what you're going through. What are you going through? Is it anger? Look up every word. Look up anger every time in the Bible. Go to blueletterbible.com or BibleGateway.com or BibleHub.com or find you some electronic and just search it. You can download the app, YouVersion of the Bible on your phone, and just search anger. And just start going through and just look up anger in Proverbs. Start there. You're dealing with lust? Look up lust every time. You're dealing with forgiveness? Look up forgiveness. Go to the next one. Bless God. Remember the goodness of God. Ask God, continually ask God not to just keep you on the path, but to teach you. Go to the next one. Tell people where you are. I'm going through some changes right now. God is doing a work in my life. It's really kind of weird. I ain't trying to weird you out and be over the top with all of this, but right now, God is working on my life and working in my heart, and this is what I'm doing, man. I gotta make some changes right now. Verse 14. Rejoice in the way of God's testimonies. Listen to your friends' testimonies. Look at the testimonies in the Bible. Read Psalm 78. Read Psalm 105. Read Psalm 95. Look at all those testimonies of God's testimonies, what he's done for his people. Verse 15. Take the time. Meditate on the precepts of God. Now, right now, I know 5 minutes can seem like a decade to sit down and think about what God says do. Okay, if 5 minutes seems like a decade, start with a minute. Okay? Just 1 minute. I promise you, God is not looking at you saying, oh, all you got is a minute, huh? Well, get out of here and come back when you got more than that for me. That's not God, man. If give him a minute, just start there. And respect. Respect. Respect it. Now, you may say, well, I've said I respect it 1,000 times, but I keep falling off. I keep missing the mark. It's when you go back to ask him to help you, keep you, and teach you. I would delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget your word. Make a commitment to God today. I am saying to you today that here's a really basic way to keep yourself on track. And as I close, I want to give you some really encouraging truths that I needed. I needed these truths so bad. I think if I never had heard these couple of verses, I probably would never have made half the changes I've made. The first one, the path of the just is like a shining light that shines more and more unto the perfect day. And when I first read that, I just felt like I could see where I was supposed to be. And I felt like the next step ought to get me there. But I kept feeling like I was taking steps. But the more steps I took, the further away it seemed. But what he was showing me was, no, that's not how it works. How it actually works is this light that is shining in your life right now, showing you what you need to do. Trust me, you keep walking. It's going to shine more and more until you look up and one day you're going to say, wow, I'm a different person. I can tell you today I'm a different person. I'm not filled with rage. I'm not filled with hatred and bitterness. I'm not filled with anxiety and doubt and despair. I don't feel rejected every time, you know, something goes down with me and God. I don't feel that anymore. I have battles with some of it in some instances, but not nearly as much as I used to. The second verse is 1 John 1:6-7. I'll read these to you right out of the Bible. And he says, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. In other words, if we're saying we know God, but you still don't have any joy, you still don't have any strength, you still don't have any peace, you still falling off the mark, you just can't seem to get it together. He's saying that we lying. And whatever truth it is that he is showing us, we're not obeying it. Let me say that again. In so many words, he's saying that if you're walking in darkness, remember we started about with the woods and we needed a compass to get out of the wilderness. He says, if you're still there saying that you know God, you're having fellowship with God, he says, no, you're not being obedient. And that's why you're still where you are. Verse 7 is one of my greatest favorite negations in the Bible. He says, but. Right? Because that was kind of dark. Like, oh, I'm in the darkness over here, brother. He says, but if we walk in the light, what light? The light of the words that you're hearing right now. What are you hearing? Simplify. He says, if you walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. Relationships are not so toxic anymore. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all sin. Jesus, the Lord is making a promise to you. He's saying, you know what? All that dirt that's in you, you can't clean that. You're in the light dirty. Oh, what grace that is. This is saying if you walk in the light, you can be clean. That means I'm dirty in the light. Is that not grace?
Yes, sir.
He's saying, but now that you're in the light by the grace of God, if you just walk in it, you have fellowship. You find yourself around people with like minds. And he says, and the blood that got you into the light will keep doing that work. It goes on. He kind of goes back, takes a step back and says, if we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. I don't have it all together. So he says, don't go back. Don't ever go to the place where you're saying you got it all together. We do not have it all together. So we ain't going to tell that lie. He says, if we confess our sins, and if we talking in the context of simplifying, if we confess, I'm stretched, I'm in debt, I'm out of shape, I'm messed up, Brother Aaron, or sister, or whatever, whoever you're talking to, or if it's just to the Lord, he says, if we confess our sins, I love this. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That is so beautiful. Because that is a promise to us saying that if we talk to God and say, I got this messed up, God, this filth is calling me and I want to answer it, and it's not right. He's saying, if you confess, he says, he will forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. What unrighteousness? It's every unright thing in your life. Everything. Schedule. Finances, relationships, emotional, don't matter what it is. He says, if we talk to God, let him know where we at. Get a friend involved. Circle of people that you love, that trust you, you know, love you and care for you. He says, if you confess, he says he is faithful and just to forgive you and clean you up. How can a young man cleanse his way? Taking heed according to your word. These are the words of life, y'all. They're so beautiful. You may feel like right now it's overwhelming to think about slowing down. It's overwhelming to think about backing up the hours on your job. You might think it's overwhelming to stop giving yourself to so many things that you've been committed to. It might be overwhelming. I have felt that too. But I told you this morning, I feel so good right now. I feel so good. And I really want you to know that God has been the one that as I've taken a little step here and a little step there, a little step there, cut that off. I didn't think I would ever be able to live without cable. Okay, you talking about giving up the cable, Lord. The cable. All right, what we gonna do? And that's what we did. God wants to bless you, man. God does not. His desire is not for you to be running around out of control in emotional despair, in over your head in debt, overtaxed on your schedule, and always feeling like you want to get to him. What he's saying is, get to me, and I'll take care of all that stuff. And you might feel like, if I let go, you thinking, I'm going to lose this and I'm going to lose that. No, you won't. The only thing you're going to lose is what you never needed in the first place. What will always remain in your life is what God has always kept in the lives of his people. Exactly what you need. Amen. God, we thank you and we bless you today for helping us, God. And we ask you, Lord, that as we've looked at these verses, that you will continually remind us. David prayed. I'm asking you right now, keep us, Lord. Keep us on this focus of simplifying. Keep it at the forefront of our minds. We need you to help us, God. God, help us to meditate on your words. Help us to hide your word in our hearts so we don't sin against you. Lord, be our compass. We need you to help us to get out of the wilderness of being cluttered up in our minds and our hearts and our finances and our relationships to where we are in civilization again. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I tell you what. There you have it, brothers. I was thoroughly blessed to go over these simple truths with my fellow brothers and sisters as well as with you. And it's really refreshing to know that if there are stones on a tomb, you got your joy is dead, your hope is dead, your vibrance is dead, your worship is dead, that 2,000 years later, the power of God
is yet rolling stones away through Jesus Christ. He will unlock your joy. He will unlock your peace. He will unlock every dead thing that is supposed to be alive in your life. And He will call it out to be in full fruition for you to enjoy as well as share with your brothers and sisters. So I hope that blesses you. Be diligent with this truth, with the things that God prompted in you, in your heart, convicted you with. Write those things down. Journal them. Pray over them. Consult with the Lord. Talk with your friends about it. That was one of the issues. Is tell people where you are. Talk to your pastor. Talk to the lay people in your church. Talk to your family. And watch God continually shine that light, and it'll become brighter and brighter. Hey, you may not know it, but on our website, spiritandtruthchurch.net, there are other ways that you can connect with us. You can request a personal Bible study. Just go to our homepage and you'll see it there. You can make prayer requests, as well as find many other things that are really cool and helpful to you. We want to see the whole body of Christ grow. You do not necessarily have to be a member of our specific church because you are a member of the body of Christ. We love you. God bless you. We'll talk to you soon.